Now, real people, real opinions. Nighttime Talk with Niall Boylan.
Ireland's classic hits radio.
All right, welcome back. I was going to come back and pretend I was drunk or something like that. Welcome back to the show. Thank you, Zell. Anyway, but I said, no, wouldn't be me. Anyway, dry January. I know. You're saying to me, Boylan, we haven't even got to Christmas yet. You're talking about dry January. But it's important we talk about this, and I'll tell you why in a second. It's coming up to that time of the year again where people are choosing to put down the booze. At least for a little while anyway. Now we got a listener email here that I wanted to read out to you. And it's about dry January. And it said, I had a question for you now and your listeners because I really just can't wrap my head around this. Now, I want to start by saying I don't drink. I never have and I never will. It's just a personal choice. But I have seen so many people posting about dry January. I've even seen DrinkAware suggest people try dry January. And I just don't get the point of it. If you want to stop drinking, just stop. Why do people have to do it for a month? And I know that sounds stupid. I understand some people struggle to give it up, and I'm not talking about those ones. This is about people who have a glass of wine with their dinner or just go out on a Saturday night. Why do they need an excuse to give it up? Ireland has an unfortunate reputation of problem drinking that gets amplified every single holiday. I have really racked my brain about some of the positives of thinking and can only think of the consequences of drinking, should I say. Only think of the consequences. But I want you to tell me one genuine benefit to drinking alcohol. One cold hard fact that makes drinking better, because I truly don't think there's a single positive thing can be said about alcohol. Am I seeing this totally wrong, Mr. Boylan? Or am I making any bit of sense whatsoever? My friends think I'm taking this too far and should just let people do the dry January if they want. But I really feel it's making a mockery of being actually sober in the first place. Does dry January really help? Lorcan. Now, what I took from that was the positive bit from Lorcan. You know, the positive bit. See, so I don't drink either. So obviously I'm a little bit biased in this topic. But in saying that, I do work in the nighttime industry too, and I have for many years and made a lot of money out of it as a DJ. So I see the benefits from that point of view. But that's a selfish benefit. That's not a benefit to the people who are consuming the alcohol, because there's no benefit to them. They're just losing money out of their pockets, drinking and getting drunk and making fools of themselves. So the question, I'm going to ask the question that Lorcan asks. Is there anybody that can tell me one positive thing about alcohol? Like, if there was no such thing as alcohol, and tomorrow somebody developed this new drink that made you feel a little bit dizzy, a little bit weird, and for some people they say it relaxes them. I don't believe that for a minute. It made you feel a bit dizzy, a bit weird, and every now and again made you want to throw up. Would you think anybody would license it? People say, why would you want to release something like that? Makes you dizzy, makes you feel a bit weird, makes you do things that you shouldn't really make a fool of yourself, and every now and again makes you want to throw up. Oh, and destroys families as well. And contributes to things like domestic violence. Would you actually release it and develop it and sell it off? You wouldn't be allowed. But it's there already, isn't it? So that's just the negative stuff, right? Obviously, I've given you. I don't know the positive stuff because I'm not a drinker. So please, somebody come on and tell me what's the purpose of dry January. And because he says if you're drinking, just give it up. Why just for 1 month? Just give it up. What is the benefit of alcohol to society? Apart from somebody talks about the nighttime industry in a text, I get that. But leaving that aside, pretend we didn't have alcohol in the past. We can make up for that industry some other way. I don't know, economically. I'm asking you a question. What is the benefits of alcohol? Is there any benefit to society whatsoever to the consumption with the consumption of alcohol? Let me go to David. David, hi, how are you?
Hello, Niall, how are you?
Good, David.
Well, I'm just talking away and listening to you there when you were talking, and I was thinking in my own brain, trying to figure out which is the most beneficial thing about alcohol. And the fact that I don't drink, I'll admit, I can't come up with one, to be honest with you.
No.
Maybe some people will say it puts them in good form because they're in good old spirits and all this thing. That's very much depending on the person.
Well, that's a bit of a silly reason, because that then suggests that I can never be in good form because I don't drink.
Well, that's it. I mean, I'm the same then. When I'm out in the pub, I'm out dancing and I'm out singing. I love music, and in nightclubs I'm dancing. I'm having a great time and I'm sober as a judge. I don't know what the story is.
Yeah.
Like, to be honest, I can give 101 drawbacks to it, but the main thing that why people get addicted to alcohol is the ingredient called ethanol, which is a highly addictive substance in alcohol, And that's why people become alcoholics. You know, people think you're called an alcoholic, but ethanol is the addictive path. The same as I'm a chronic smoker, and nicotine is the most addictive thing in cigarettes.
Mm-hmm.
But as for, I'm probably sounding like I'm dead down on drink, but as I said in my text previous, I'm going into pubs since I was 12 years old. I worked as a barman in 3 different pubs and a nightclub as well. And to be honest, the amount of antics I see other people after when they're drunk is unbelievable. No, saying, getting back to my side of the story, I've never seen anybody hitting a slap in the mouth over a fag, you know, even though I'm not condoning them either. Mm. But well, it's a mind-altering substance.
No, yeah, alcohol or cigarettes. Okay, don't get me wrong. Cigarettes are a bad thing and people shouldn't be smoking them, including me.
I'm not condoning them in a bit.
Yeah, but in saying that, you don't get involved in domestic violence if you're smoking cigarettes. Yeah,
exactly,
yeah,
okay. Over a cigarette.
Yeah.
But the only benefits I can see if I was a drinker would be to say it puts me in good form, which it does to lose to some people. Other people have Dutch courage, though, which is a problem. Do you know what Dutch courage is?
Oh,
man?
I do indeed, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, well, they have Dutch courage, so that's not being good for them. Mm-hmm. They can be very cranky, like. And as I say, I'd say the only one that'll ever come on and say the benefits of the alcohol are, oh, it puts me in great form. But what that has is an opposite effect in the following morning or so forth.
Well, I mean, you could argue, and somebody did argue, that there's a nighttime industry that makes money from alcohol and a lot of people are employed. And yeah, but that is a benefit. But I could equally argue that if we legalised heroin tomorrow, you could have an industry for that too. Do you know what I mean? So that's not really a positive. I don't think so anyway.
Exactly. Exactly. And not only that, it's a depressant. And people that are pissed off, excuse my language, they say, look, I'm going out for a couple of drinks because I'm pissed off.
Mm-hmm.
That actually exasperates the problem because it puts you into deeper depression in the long term because you're drinking because you're pissed off. It pisses you off more, so you drink more. And it's a vicious circle into a slippery slope completely.
Yeah, and the same with cigarette smokes with nicotine. People think they're addicted to nicotine, but it's actually nicotine you're addicted to. So they say nicotine reduces anxiety, but the problem is your lack of nicotine, if you don't have a cigarette within an hour, let's say, creates the anxiety in the first place. So in other words, there's a vicious circle involved there too. But
there is indeed.
Okay, so you would agree then there's nothing positive about drinking alcohol?
I was listening away to you and I was thinking away while you were talking. You were probably talking for 3 or 4 minutes or 5 there. And I'd be a very quick thinker. I couldn't think of anything of it really. Only the only excuse that people would make saying, oh, sure, I feel great after alcohol. Life is all about a party.
But how many people feel great? Because when I talk to drinkers, you know, who had a drink, I know a group of people who were out on Friday night for their party. And most of the people that I spoke to said, you know, they couldn't, you know, think properly the next day. You know what I mean? They were kind of suffering from hangovers or whatever.
They have a hangover.
Yeah. So, and a lot of them were sick on the night and everything else. So I just don't see the positives to drinking. I don't see anything positive in it.
I've been in all of the parties, as you can imagine, night all my time.
Hmm.
I know exactly how much I enjoyed myself, what I did, what I said and everything. There's lots of people I meet after parties. What did I say last night? What was it like? What did I do?
Yeah, but I'm good at a party. All I drink is Red Bull or Coke. You know what I mean?
Well,
Coca-Cola, by the way, obviously.
I think Red Bull is horrible. My drink of poison is sparkling water with my middle of my body in it. Or even still water.
Okay.
So I definitely won't be mind-altering in anything I drink.
Yeah, and the other argument he makes is about Dry January. This thing, you know, that Drink Aware promoted, which is Dry January. People give up alcohol for a month. And he's going, why give it up for a month? Just give it up.
I had a good friend of mine, he'd drink Lockie and Dry 11 months of the year. And come the 1st of November, he wouldn't drink a drop the month of November. And then he got back again in December.
So in other words, he deny himself the alcohol for the month of November so he could make up for it in December. Yeah. That sounds like fun.
All souls month, you see, all souls. But he's on the wagon now. He don't touch it at all now.
Yeah.
He don't touch it whatsoever now. And
I know the industry is worth a huge amount of money. I mean, it's one of Ireland's biggest industries. Actually, Guinness, of course, is one of Ireland's biggest exporters. I get that.
And as you mentioned the industry, there was a piece on the internet there lately that there's going to be a shortage of Guinness. Oh, there's going to be a big problem with a shortage of Guinness at Christmas.
They'll be murdered. They'll be killing each other. So, stay there for a second, David. Let me just go to Alan. Alan, hi. How are you doing?
Hey, Niall.
Right, give me one positive thing about alcohol. One.
Okay, here we go. This is from the words of a famous alcoholic. To alcohol, the cause and solution to all our problems.
The cause and the solution to all our problems. Exactly. Yes. Yes, I get you.
That's Homer Simpson said that.
Well, it was
the
Homer.
Cause, he stands on the... Just when alcohol was banned in Springfield for a new law they brought out, and he went off his head and he got back drinking after 2 days and he had to party and he says, alcohol, the cause and solution to all our problems.
It is a very true statement with his Duff beer. It is a very true statement. It creates the problems, and then it's the solution to the problem, because if you drink, you forget about the problem.
Yeah, that's all it is, Niall. I don't drink. Mm. And I see a lot of damage alcohol does around where I live.
Mm-hmm.
Heavy drinking. Heavy. And it's sad, Niall. It's sad that young people are strung out on this drug, and it's just the way it is. It's not even passed off as abnormal now. It's just part of the furniture.
Mm. And what I find bizarre is non-alcoholic drinks, right? Now, there's a million non-alcoholic drinks before they start marketing non-alcoholic drinks. There was Coca-Cola, there was lemonade, there was all those. They're all non-alcoholic drinks. But yet they marketed a beer, you know, and a gin and wine that are non-alcoholic for people who like to drink alcohol but are going to pretend it's not, it is alcohol. That, to me, that's just mind-blowing. There was already a million non-alcoholic drinks out there that people could happily enjoy without remarketing loads more. So,
well, Niall, you do know that with the drinks industry and the soft drinks and non-alcoholic, Coca-Cola has a lot of fucking
sugar.
Crap in the
sugar,
Israel.
Yeah, mainly sugar. Yeah,
and Red Bull, Niall, is a dangerous drug. It's a dangerous drug.
I know. There's caffeine in it. I get that. It's similar to drinking a cup of coffee.
You get a lot of caffeine in it, and a few people have died because of Red Bull having heart attacks.
Yeah, well, listen, here's the thing. With Red Bull, you don't go out and crash the car, or you don't go out and beat somebody up, or you don't get involved in public order problems in the middle of town. You know, you might be doing damage to yourself, but not to other people.
We have to educate the younger generation to avoid extremes. Alcohol
can
is in the
system. Can I just say
now.
Something, Neil, now? Can I come in there again now?
Yep, sure.
Is that man Neil mentioned, Alan? Alan is his name, yeah?
Alan, yeah.
Now, he made a very valid point there, right? Italy has the lowest form of alcoholism in Europe. Do you know why?
Why?
Because they introduce table wine at dinner to 12 and 13-year-olds to drink sensibly from day one.
But why? Now, then let me counter that by saying, why are we teaching children to drink sensibly? You wouldn't turn around to a child at 13 and say, here's a cigarette. I want you to smoke sensibly.
That's the problem in Ireland. Monkey see, monkey do.
So why? But even Italy's plan, okay, they still have alcoholics and they still have people who drink too much. Okay, they might have the lowest rate because they're a bit more sensible about the whole thing. But even introducing children to alcohol at 13, to me, makes no sense. Why introduce them to Coca-Cola or lemonade?
I said, no, Niall. I gave my son his first drink at about 14, 15 maybe.
Why?
Right?
Why?
Why? I'll tell you why. Because I did not want to make alcohol a forbidden fruit to go binge drinking later on. And my son wouldn't drink holy water, if you know.
Wouldn't drink holy water.
He's a very...
You know, there's a church, I think it's in Kerry, and they have a tap at the side of the church for when the church is closed because people are looking for the holy water. And there's a tap and a little sign over it that says holy water. And I said, it must be the only church in the world that has holy water on draft. Sorry, Alan, getting back to alcohol, have you ever drank, Alan?
I've never a drinker, Niall. No, I've had a few times I got badly drunk and I never liked the feeling. So I never got into it.
Likewise, Ellen.
Yeah, and by the way, everybody has the same experience, but yet people still drink.
Yeah,
I got drunk about 4 or 5 times every night and I said the same way as Ellen. I can't see the absolute reason to be making an absolute ape out of yourself. And I get torsy pan when I'm drunk. You're drunk, you fool. don't be making a stone to yourself or something like that, and certainly don't get into no fights.
Now, do me a favour, both of you, stay there, because I want to go to Jerry before the break. I don't want to leave him waiting too long. Jerry, hi.
Hi, Neil. Hi, Niall, sorry.
That's okay.
I'm doing good.
Jerry, give me one positive thing about alcohol. Anything positive, something positive.
Well, when I was younger, Niall, and I've thought about this actually only recently, right? But when I was younger, what it does do is lower your inhibitions.
Right.
And I was very, very shy. And it just, I was able to mix and mingle with other people. And if I didn't drink, and I'm talking about like when I'm 16, 17, and all the way up, if I didn't drink, I felt like...
you were shy.
Like shy and
yeah.
I was shy. But once I drank and I started to loosen up a bit, and then it was grand and it was part of the gang.
So, okay, so what you're saying is it gives you a bit of self-confidence.
Yeah, self-confidence, yeah, exactly.
Right, okay, but then that extra 1 point past the self-confidence gets into the area of making a fool of yourself. Do you understand what I'm saying? So you can have self-confidence and make it a knob of yourself.
Yeah. To be honest, I've gotten an awful lot of trouble over drink. Mm. An awful lot of trouble. Like when I fell downstairs and all, I drank a full bottle of Southern Comfort along with 8 cans of Carlsberg and fell downstairs, broke my front teeth.
So you drank 8 cans of Carlsberg and a bottle of Southern Comfort?
A full bottle. I mean, 50 30.
Jeez, you're lucky to be alive.
My problem was always being whiskey and Southern Comfort spirits. So I point blank cut spirits out of my... I've only gone near a spirit now because I can't stop drinking them. Once I go near a spirit, I'll knock them back big time.
So what are you drinking now?
I either drink Guinness or Bulmers. But recently, Noel, I've thought about what you said and I'm beginning to think, why am I drinking?
Hmm.
And I mean, I was only out on Saturday night. And I tried out on a Saturday night just at the local pub, and they've a great band on. And the most I'll ever have is 5 points. But now I'm thinking, why am I even drinking those 5 points? Because, I mean, I'll give you an example. This Saturday, mentally, I wasn't the best, right? So when I came home, I started getting these palpitations. And the next morning, I woke up, there's a thing called the fear. Even though
the fear,
Even though I only had 5 points, like, it felt me, I was getting palpitations and...
which was created by the alcohol in the first place, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So now I'm thinking...
DTs.
Yeah, the DTs.
Mm. Yeah, the DTs, and that was only after 5 points.
Yeah.
And I mean, I had a great night, but it was the next day, and I think now I'm thinking to myself, I'm going to stop drinking altogether, like... And I've been drinking on my life.
Now, just another point there about Ireland. 60% of drinkers in Ireland have a problem with drink. 3 out of every 5 people.
I didn't know that stat, and that's true. That's incredible, and that even begs the question more.
I heard that years ago.
Yeah, well, no, I wouldn't doubt that for a minute. But that begs the question even more: why are we drinking? Do me a favor, stay there for a second, Jerry, if you can. Thank you, David. Lots of people, by the way, texting in. The number is 087-188-0000. We're talking about dry January, and I'm asking why have dry January at all? Just give it up. I'm asking based on an email that I got from some guy, Lorcan, who says, "I want your listeners to answer a question. Give me one benefit of alcohol." Now, Jerry has given me a benefit, as far as he's concerned. It gave him a bit of confidence. Touch courage. Dave talked about that a few minutes ago. So for people who were shy or, you know, might be a little bit introvert, it brings them out of their shell a little bit. But then there's a fine line where you step over that line and drink the extra pint and you make a fool of yourself. So let me know what you think. The number is 087-188-0008. Is there any benefits whatsoever, generally, to society with alcohol? All right, keep texting, keep WhatsApping. The number is 087-188-0008. Now, somebody texted in about this quote. Even though some studies suggest that a glass of wine may lower your risk of heart disease, researchers say, for sure, that a glass of red wine lowers your risk of cancer. Now, let me just say it. The answer to that from the Cancer Research Society is, bottom line, not drinking is the safest choice. In other words, it's like saying vaping is safer than smoking. Of course it is, but not vaping is even safer again. Do you understand the point? So yes, red wine might be better than white wine when it comes to the risk of heart disease or cancer, but not drinking at all would be better again. It goes on to say, even though some studies suggest a glass of wine may lower your risk of heart disease, researchers say can't say for sure that a glass of red wine lowers your risk of cancer. But one thing is for certain, having heavy drinking does damage your cells and can cause your increase your chances of cancer. So if you choose to drink red wine, do so in moderation. And they say then the bottom line, not drinking is the safest choice. That's according to cancer research. So I don't know where you got that one from, folks. Keep texting, keep WhatsApp at the numbers 087-188-0008. Jerry says it kind of gives you a little bit of Dutch courage. Alan, hi, how are you? Another Alan.
How are you getting on, Noel?
Good. Give me a benefit, one benefit to alcohol in society.
Well, no, just to pause you there about health facts and stuff like that, yeah?
Yep.
I had cancer when I was 12.
Wow. That's very, that's very young.
I never drank, did I? And I was in a ward called St. John's in Crumlin Hospital with full of people with cancer that never drank. So...
Oh yeah, I know that.
You know,
no. I'm not saying that alcohol causes cancer, but it is a contributing factor. Just like smoking is a contributing factor to cancer.
Yeah. And you know what else? Life is a contributing
Absolutely.
Factor.
I'm not saying it's not, but as you go through life, you know, for example, red meat they say is a contributing factor. Yeah. But if you only have a couple of steaks a week, it's probably not a contributing factor at all. Do you know what I mean?
Well, to me, no,
everything in moderation, Alan. Everything in moderation.
Well, I've had cancer twice.
I'm sorry to hear that.
All right. Now, and I'm grand. I don't mind having a few cans. Doesn't do me any harm, mate, you know?
You're saying it doesn't do you any harm, but it is doing you harm. Of course it is.
No, it's not.
Well, it's not doing you any good, is it?
Well, yeah, look, everything's doing you harm. All the shite, the added foods.
Well, no, like, hold on a second. You're saying everything's doing you harm. I don't know, fruit juice would do you a lot less harm than whatever beer it is you're drinking, whatever alcohol you're drinking.
Okay, so what about cigarettes?
Oh, they're of no value to society whatsoever.
Would they be better or worse than gargle?
Equally as bad.
Okay, yeah.
But the difference is, when it comes to society, alcohol is worse for society generally because alcohol involves other people. So in other words, if you're smoking, it's not going to affect the rest of your family, well, unless you're blown in their face. But if you're drinking alcohol and you become an alcoholic... Well, then it does have a huge effect on the people around you. But Alan, give me something positive about drinking. Do you have anything positive?
Okay, well, it relaxes you.
Okay, relaxes
you. Okay, so now I'd like to stop you there on your point about it affects the people around you. I'm fairly successful in life. I have 4 kids. It doesn't affect. I have a few cans every night, which nowadays people would call you an alcoholic bar.
When you say it doesn't affect your kids, right, it doesn't affect them directly because you're not doing anything with them or to them when you're drunk, but they're seeing you drinking. So what you're doing essentially is normalizing the consumption of alcohol in front of your children. So then as they grow up, that becomes normal to them. So it does have an effect. Absolutely. My parents smoked.
Someone was smoking and they stepped outside to have a smoke. Are you encouraging your kids to smoke then?
No, you're probably reducing it certainly to when I was a young man or a young boy and my mother and father smoked 100 cigarettes a day in the house. That normalised smoking. So when I got to 16 or 17, I couldn't wait to smoke.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't really be cracking a can open in front of my kids, you know?
Yeah, but they know you're drinking.
Yeah, they know you're smoking.
I know, yeah, but I don't have any young
kids. And what about the lads popping out for a joint? 50% of the country, let's be honest about it.
But I'm not saying that's not a good thing either.
Yeah, and then taking Charlie.
Well, that's even worse again. Jerry, what are you trying to say there to Alan?
No, I was just going to say about the health thing, it's such an interesting thing. When I was growing up, my father and my brothers now worked at Guinness's, right? And so they used to bring home, and my father was a pioneer all his life, and a couple of my brothers are pioneers, so never drank in their lives. But anyway, an interesting thing about Guinness was, and the big ads of Guinness was good for you. If you remember now, I used to give blood, right?
Yeah.
And every time you gave blood,
they give you a glass of Guinness. Yeah, I know.
And pregnant women
were recommended to drink Guinness. Yeah.
To drink Guinness because of the ordinate. I don't know what,
protein, I think,
The ordinate. And that's what got me addicted to Guinness.
Yeah. Now, they don't. Can I just say, doctors don't do that anymore, by the way. They say now you shouldn't drink alcohol at all when you're pregnant. But Alan, I'm still trying to get a benefit from you. You're not actually giving me any benefits apart from...
Okay, relaxes you,
okay. And yeah, is there no other way of relaxing apart from drinking alcohol?
There is. Right, it tastes good.
Does it? What do you drink? What do you drink?
I like a Heineken. I'd like a stout.
Yeah.
I'd like some craft beers.
Okay.
I like the taste of it.
Okay.
You know, that's, you could say, well, what's the benefit of food? Well, people go out and eat some nice food.
Yeah, but we need food to survive. We don't need alcohol to survive.
Mm. Well, it's a calorie, isn't it?
If you want to, if you want to use it as a calorie, you far away.
You don't need to pay, which I paid the other night, £40 for the T-bone steak, do you?
No, is that what you paid for a T-bone steak? I know it's a rip-off, isn't it? But here's the thing. You do need to eat.
It was a waste of money.
Yeah, but £40 for a T-bone steak does seem like an incredible waste of money. But in saying that, that's your choice. It's your £40. You do what you want with it. And I hope you enjoy the T-bone steak, by the way, for £40.
Well, no, commit me. I had better in my own house.
To be honest with you, I've gone to restaurants and got a steak and I've had better in my own house. But it's, I suppose it's the night out as well, isn't it? But Alan, you're not really giving me the benefit, because by saying you had, you know, spent £40, that's all food. You need food to survive. You don't need alcohol.
So people will socialise better with a bit of drink on them.
Okay. Well, like people like Jerry, yeah, who needs a little bit.
Okay, yeah.
Okay, well, hang on. Stay there, Alan, for a second. Let me go to Damo as well. Gina, I'll be with you in a second. Damo, hi.
Hello, hi, Niall. How are you?
Damo, now, you are an alcoholic. You've been sober for 21 months. Good man. Well done.
Yeah, I did. In 2021, I went to treatment. And I'm not mentioning, you know, I went to treatment with a well-known place in Dublin.
Yep.
And I lived with them for 21 months. And I stayed with them. And I was homeless before I went there.
Right.
And I was scared shitless. I got an email on my phone one day offering me my own place. And I was down in the RDRD Centre in Lings End talking to the key worker. He says, no, they're offering your own place. So I literally know where I am. And I stayed sober for another 11 months.
Good man. Well done.
I was in and out every day of the week. I was in and out of AA meetings. And if anybody's listening on this phone tonight, if you're sober and you're in AA meetings, stay in it.
Mm.
Because what I thought was, my head got bigger than I was. And I was like, I don't need AA meetings anymore. I can do this on my own. And I picked up a drink. And there's no benefit to drinking. None whatsoever.
And
I'm 46 now, to be honest.
When did you say you started drinking, Damo? When did you start? What age were you?
I'm 46 now. I picked up a drink when I was 26 years old.
Okay.
Now, the youngest of 11 in my family, and all my family were drinkers. And they all seen, and I said to myself, no, I won't drink. I won't do that. I won't smoke. And in the end, I picked it up. I lost my kids. I lost my home. I end up homeless, everything. There is no benefit of drinking. I struggle every day of the week. Every day of the week for a can. When I wake up, it's not a cup of tea I want. It's a can. I go around the streets of Dublin looking for empty cans just to get a fucking few quid to get four cans inside me. I drink about 16, 20 cans a day.
Wow.
And I went back to my doctor last April and I told him, I said, listen, I need to go back to treatment before I lose my house again. And I signed the papers, I brought them back up to the Dublin Simon.
Yeah,
to Dublin Simon, I'm going to be honest with you. That's where I live. Hand them in, and the woman says to me, we don't take them by hand. I said, what do you want me to do with them? She said, your doctor has to email them. I went back to my doctor emailed them. That was April of this year, and I've heard not one word. Now nobody.
So how are you getting on now? How are you feeling now, Damo?
Do you know what, Niall, to be honest with you? Yeah, I've a roof over my head. I'm not right. I done my Christmas shopping a bit early this year, because I leave everything to the last minute. I have my kids' presents there, you know. But generally inside, I'm broken. Broken. And if anybody out there, it's like you can come out on a Saturday night and have a drink and put it down. Well, do you know what? Fair fucking play to you, because I can't, and I wish I could. I wish I could. I'm going to go a little bit further, and I probably shouldn't, but I will. I put a man up in my house last Monday, that put me up in his house when I was homeless. I put him up on Monday night. And I woke up on fucking Wednesday morning. Do you know where I woke up? In Clontarf police station with a charity.
Oh no.
Because I locked myself out of my house and I tried to fucking kick my door in. I wasn't drunk. I just tried to kick my door in, trying to get into my home. And I'm in court on Friday. That's what drink does there.
So it's basically what you're telling me, Damon, was it ruined your whole life, destroyed your whole life?
Yeah, destroys everything, everybody around you. And nobody, if anybody come on this phone and tell me, on the radio tonight and tell me, you know what, I drink and it doesn't destroy your missus, your husband, your wife, your kids. It does. I know at the end of the day, if I don't get help, this is going to take my home around me where I am. And I'm more or less crying out for fucking help, you know?
And do you think, I mean, you're doing a good job now, right? You're off it now, yeah, you're sober now. Yeah?
No, I'm not, to be honest with you, I'm not.
Oh, you're not, you're back on, okay.
Yeah, I picked up a drink about nearly a year ago when my sister died.
So when was the last time you had a drink? Was it today?
Yeah. I'm not ringing you up drunk and talking.
No, I know you're not. But here's the thing. If you're telling me, here you are now, right, on the radio, telling me you're in court, you're arrested by the guards, you have a charge sheet, there's all sorts of troubles, you lost your family, you've lost everything that you've had, you're on the streets homeless, you were picked up by Simon, you know, and you're telling me all this of how it's ruined your life. And you need to explain to me, Damo, because I don't understand this, right? Then how you can lift another can of beer knowing the damage it's done to your life. Because you're warning everybody else not to do what you're doing, but you can't do it yourself. And that must be hard for you.
It's horrible. It's the truth. It's horrible. I can't do it. I need to go back to treatment. I want to go back to treatment. I do.
Mm.
I walk out the door with the clothes on my back now.
Yeah.
If anybody can turn around and say to me, look, there's a bed in Galway or Tipperary or Kilkenny or anywhere. I walk out the door now to put the clothes on my back now, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I know. There isn't enough help out there, and I get that. And there should be more help to help people like yourself or people who are on drugs or whatever it happens to be. There needs to be more support systems and more help out there for people. Because I can see, Damo, you really want to do it. You really want to stop.
I do. Do you know what I'm afraid of, right?
What are you afraid of?
I'm afraid of when I went to them meetings and I sat white knuckling thinking I can do this on my own. And I stopped going to AA meetings and it all fell apart. And then you hear about don't just stop drinking when you're an alcoholic. You can take a seizure and die or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and all this shit goes through my head every day because I have kids and I love my kids.
And you want to be there for them. Of course you do. Yeah.
Yeah. And every day I wake up and say to myself, do you know what? Just drink the last can, get rid of it. Make sure there's not a can there in the morning. But you know what, Niall? I come down to the shop and it's not a pint of milk. It's,
can of beer.
Four cans.
And
it is, you know. It's standing outside shops tapping and all and I have a roof over my head and there's people out there in a lot of worse crisis than I am. I understand that, you know. But just listening to you tonight and people are ringing in and they were saying, like, I never drank in all my life. And it's a fair play to you. You didn't, you know.
Because your life, if alcohol didn't exist, your life would be so different now.
And you know what? I used to walk all my life as a forklift driver. I did, right? And last October, I was down in Amy Street. I seen this woman in Amy Street. She said to me, there's a forklift course over in Talla. It's all free. Do you want to do it? And she had put my name down for it. I went and done the forklift course now for the whole month of October with all my licenses. Counterbalance, reach license, power pallet truck. The whole lot, you know. And people say to me, why don't you go and get a job? Do you know why? Because I'm a liability to myself and everybody around me. I know I'm good at what I do, yeah, but I'm not fucking all right in the head to do it, you know.
So you don't trust yourself, is what you're saying?
No, I don't trust myself at all. No.
But you just told me a minute ago, you want to be here for good for your kids because your kids need you and you want to be there for them all the time. So like thinking of them, does that even help to try and think, make you think, oh, I need to stop? And I know you need treatment. You need a treatment centre.
Yeah, I do. But I wouldn't go out and apply for a job and then a man turn around and says to me, like, you know, what can you do? Well, there's my licence. I can drive a forklift. I can put a pallet 20 feet in the air and then probably crush somebody behind me because I'm not having a drink the night before. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I know. You can't. No, you couldn't.
Because I know when I go home, I'll drink bleeding 6 or 8 cans or something and I go to bed and then I wake up in the morning and I go to work. And I probably have a can in my bag as well and I go to work.
Yeah, I know.
It's just wrong. You know, it's just...
But they always say, you know, these treatment centres or AA or whatever it is, the first step is knowing that you have a problem. And Damo, I can hear it. You know you have a problem. You know, you really acknowledge the problem.
2021, I admitted I had a problem.
Yeah.
Even when the police were in my house the other night, I told them I was straight. I said, I'm an alcoholic. I said, yeah, I tried to kick my door in. I'm sorry if I made a bit of noise.
Yeah.
Said, no, it wasn't that. You disturbed your neighbours.
Yeah, I
didn't knock on any of my neighbours' doors.
But somebody obviously rang the police when they heard you. You know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah, my neighbours. Yeah. You know,
look, I understand. Radio, yeah, I know. Let's not get into your neighbours, but I can understand why sometimes if people hear the next door neighbour's house being kicked, the door being kicked in, they might ring the guards. I can understand why that would happen.
No, I understand, because I'd probably do it myself. Like, if I was sitting in my house and I hear someone kicking at the door, I'd be like, Jesus Christ, is that person not like out there? Do you know what I mean?
So where are you going? What are you going to do Christmas Day? Where are you going? Are you going to be with your kids?
No, to be honest with you, after what happened there on Wednesday night, getting arrested and all, I told my ex-girlfriend what happened. And she says to me, do you know what, I just wrap the presents up for the kids. I'll meet you in town, get the presents off them, get the presents off you, and I'll be here on my own.
Sorry.
You know.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Damo. I really am, and I know it's a struggle for you, and I know it's really hard. And
no, I know I'm live on radio. I'm not fucking crying on the radio either. What other people...
Yeah. No, well, look, Damo, I really, really hope you get the help that you need. I hope you can get into a treatment centre. I hope things look up for you and I hope life gets better for you. All right?
If there's anybody out there, right, if you can have a drink and put it down.
Mm-hmm.
Don't think, you know, there's any benefit of having a drink. And I can pick it up and I enjoy a few cans and it makes me feel better and it makes me feel happy and all. It doesn't. Because in the end, it's going to fucking destroy you. That's all it'll do.
Damo, listen, thank you very much indeed. And as I said, I hope things look up for you. I have loads of texts from people wishing you well and hope things get better for you. And I hope you get yourself into a treatment centre soon because I know you really want to stop. Damo, thanks very much indeed. I'd like to say have a happy Christmas, but I know it's going to be a tough one for you. But look, you've got through worse and I'm sure you'll get through this. Damo, thanks very much indeed. Gina, I'm sorry I'm at the keeping you waiting for so long, but I'm going to have to go to a very short break, Gina, and I'll come to you straight after the break, I promise, okay? That's the serious side of everything, isn't it, really, when you think about it? How lucky you are sometimes when you think about alcohol. And we were talking about the positives. Is there anything positive to alcohol? Clearly, from Damo's point of view, absolutely nothing. Just to mention, by the way, it would be remiss of me not to mention this. Christmas can be a tough time for many people, particularly people in Damo's situation. If anybody's looking for someone to talk to, don't remember, forget, you can always call the Samaritans. And that number is a Dublin number, 01-671-0071. That's 671-0071. All right, let me go to Gina if I can. Gina, hi. How are you doing, Gina?
Hi, Nat. Thanks for having me. I'm an absolute tears there. Poor Damo. I know.
I know. I'm sorry
myself as well. I'm sorry because I'm a disability advocate, so excuse me as well.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me, I just feel for you, Damo.
He's gone there now, but it's
really tough, but at least you can pass it on to him.
Yeah.
Because, you know, he doesn't, I think everyone is in a different scenario, but I completely understand because my ex-partner, I had to...
Don't get into too much details about your personal life with your ex-partner, Gina, because I can't discuss that in the air unless your ex-partner is on the air to talk about it. So if you could not talk about your ex-partner, that'd be great.
But
Okay.
Oh, no,
I don't want to talk about your ex-partner on the air, Gina. We can't talk about somebody who's not on the air.
No, just one or two people that they would drink all day and that'd be 24/7. And I think that, like, I like a Guinness or two. Yes, I know I've heard some of you say earlier, Guinness is good for you, but your iron and stuff like that.
Mm.
But I think everybody needs to make their own choice. As a disability advocate, I like to have a drink when I'm out socialising.
What does it do for you? Can I ask you a question, right?
Yeah.
Because we've been asking all night, what's the positive things about alcohol? Is there anything positive? So you tell me, why do you have a couple of drinks when you go out at night? What does it do for you?
I'd have two drinks. And if I'm at a social, and people do say it to me, well, Gina, why are you... How come you're not drinking as fast as everyone else? I want to enjoy the moment for me, and then that's enough for me, you know.
But I'm wondering again, just very quickly, what's the benefit? What, I mean, when you say, like, if I said to you, if you drank two glasses of Coca-Cola, what would be the difference? So, what's the benefit of drinking alcohol? Does it relax you, or what does it do?
It relaxes me, but then that's enough. If I had too much, if I had, let's say, five or six,
you'd be on your ear. Yeah.
No, I and like, especially when I have my guide dog, like, I need to walk with my guide dog. I need to be.
But that'll be awkward, all right. Yeah, that'll be awkward if you were drunk with the guide dog, yeah.
So I can understand in the other level where Damo is coming from, too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I think, you know, people need to make their own choices. And as Damo said there, you know, you realise, okay, I need help here. Do you know?
Mm-hmm.
And if, you know, I have this and that, okay, that's enough.
Yeah.
I can put it down and put it away. Like, as Damo said there, that's great if you can do that. Well, some people can't do that.
A large percentage of people can't do it because it's addictive.
No, well, yeah, but your cigarettes are addictive.
Yeah, but it's not. And I agree. I understand. I'm a smoker. I understand the damage it's doing to me personally. But here's the thing, Gina. The difference between cigarettes and alcohol is cigarettes don't affect everybody else. If I smoke my cigarette, if I have a cigarette here for the moment, well, I can't obviously in the building, but if I smoke here, it's not affecting anybody else. But the problem with alcohol is it affects everybody around you. If you get drunk, it affects everybody around you.
Alcohol affects. If you take too much and you just can't control yourself, and I've seen people and I've seen friends with that in the past, I've had to mind them, and I'm visually impaired. I'm minding them.
God.
I've had like one drink and then a glass of water. And sure, you know.
No,
so
I understand,
it's a catch 22.
No, I get you. I get you, Gina. Listen, thank you very much indeed. So Gina would have a couple of drinks just to kind of relax her on a night out. Obviously, some people go too far, but Gina doesn't. Let me know what you think. The number's 087-188-0008. Let me go to Martin. Martin, hi, how are you?
I'm well, Niall. Good evening.
Well, it's not really good after listening to Damo. I mean, God, that was so tough to listen to, you know, because I know alcoholism is out of people's control sometimes. And, you know, unfortunately, in Damo's case, it seems to be.
Yeah, for some people, and my heart goes out to the man. I mean, you know, I've known people in similar circumstances.
Yeah.
But I honestly feel demonizing alcohol, it's an easy get out.
But when you say, yeah, I'm demonising it to some degree, am I, tonight? Because I'm a non-drinker.
Well, to be honest, Noel, I think you are.
I'll accept that. I'm okay with that. So, but here's the thing. I've asked the same question to everybody, and the only answer I'm getting is, oh, it relaxes me. So, give me a benefit to alcohol. Is there any benefit to society whatsoever, apart from the industry itself?
I've heard you deny, but there are numerous, very credible studies from very credible people, institutions, backgrounds, that show that there are physical benefits to moderate alcohol consumption. I can tell you that certainly from my point of view, apart from whether it's physically beneficial, you know, on occasions when I sit down and I as I said in a text, you know, I have a good book, and I put on an LP of one of my favorite artists, and I have a gin and tonic. I'm sitting there relaxed. Yes, it's not that I can't relax without it. It will enhance that moment. I don't take it for the alcohol, if you know what I mean. It's part of that moment. It's the same as if I'm having a good meal and I can afford a glass of good red wine, it enhances the experience of that moment. I can honestly tell you, I have never, ever been drunk in my life. Never happened. Have there been times when I maybe had a bit too much? Yes, I'll be absolutely honest. Of course I have. But I've never been drunk. I've never had so much to drink that, you know, I was out of control. But I can understand that, yes, it can go that way. It could go that way for me. I can remember I had this conversation with you during COVID. I noticed that my consumption was going up, and I had to take that in hand because I recognised my consumption was going up. You know, we have to, as individuals, we have to be...
Well, overall, can I ask you then, overall, if it's not too much of a personal question, do you think alcohol has had a positive role in your life or a negative role?
I would say it's had a pretty neutral role, to be honest with you.
Oh, okay. Fair enough.
Like,
I've had negative experiences. Now, don't get me wrong.
Of course.
I've worked in the industry for, you know, for decades. So I see, you know, I was the sober one watching everybody else, you know, pissed. But also then, from my father's point of view, from family point of view, when I was young, watching my father extremely drunk on a regular basis wasn't enjoyable.
Yeah.
So, and I can remember, now don't get me wrong, I love my dad to bits, but I can remember those nights when he wasn't himself because he was drinking whiskey. He wasn't too bad on Guinness, he'd just fall around the place, pee himself and fall asleep. But if he drank whiskey, he turned into a psychopath. You know, so, like, I remember all those experiences, you know, and it's not a good thing.
No, I absolutely understand. I mean, I came from a very fortunate circumstance where my father didn't drink. He wasn't a Puritan by any means. When, pardon me, as I said, when I was 17, I had my first drink. My father knew that I was going out for a drink. And he said, you're working now. You're entitled to go for a drink. Don't ever turn up at this house drunk. Don't ever let me hear about you drinking in fields or on the streets or anything else. If you're going to drink, drink like a civilized man. Go out, have conversation. You know, do what other people do. My father was just, he wasn't a drinker. My mother also was never in a pub in her life. She did take the occasional drink, but she was never in a pub in her life.
My mother drank as well every now and again. Usually at Christmas and things like that. And if she went out, say, to a dinner dance with my dad, she'd have a drink, right? But I have to say, I was used to my father being drunk. But when I saw my mother drunk on one or two occasions, it was terrifying. I found it terrifying to see her, because I wasn't used to seeing her drunk, because she's the one who represents the carer, the one that looks after you, the one that protects you from the drunk. And so when I saw her on one or two occasions as a young lad, and I saw her having too much to drink, it was terrifying.
Yeah, I can understand what you're saying. Again, I never saw my mother drunk. I did see relatives drunk.
Mm-hmm.
But I came from a very fortunate background, and I think my parents gave me a kind of an attitude towards drink. And I said it before, my daughters, when they were younger, I had no problem. If we're having a meal, give them, you know, a drop of wine in a glass, drop of water added to it. Let them experience it. Now, am I saying that since then they've never been drunk? I don't know. They possibly could have been. I don't know. They're grown women. They have their own lives. But I think I have done my best to pass that on to them.
Mm.
I just think demonizing alcohol itself is not the answer. And I know people will...
But don't get me wrong. I do accept there are people who can have a social drink. And I do accept for some people it gives them a bit of Dutch courage or it gives them a bit of confidence. But the one thing I can't accept is that it has given anything positive to society, generally speaking, because it hasn't.
Well, I don't know, Niall. I mean, like, I'll be honest with you. I for years now, I haven't really been what people would call. I don't go to pubs anymore. I really don't. It'd be on rare occasions, as I said, I'd sit down after maybe a hard week or whatever. I'd sit down with a book. I'd put on one of my favorite LPs, and I'll have a gin and tonic. But I remember when I was younger. I think I had this conversation with Gareth O'Callaghan, I think. You know, on a Saturday night when my wife and I were younger, before we had children, we'd go out with my father-in-law, my mother-in-law. We'd go to the Iron Sports and Social Club.
I know, that was, yeah.
And myself and our father, we'd sit at the bar with a few others. Wouldn't get drunk by any means, wouldn't over-imbibe, but we'd have a few pints.
Yeah.
We'd solve every problem in the world, or at least we thought we had.
Yeah, the answer for everything.
We thought we did.
Yeah.
And we all went home happy. You know, it was... So I don't know that it's true to say that there's no benefit.
Okay, so the socialising aspect of it and bringing people together is the point that you're making. Martin, unfortunately, I've run out of time, and I do apologise for cutting you a bit short there. But Martin makes the point that, yes, in Ireland particularly, it's a social crutch, isn't it? We come together around alcohol. People come together around alcohol. So maybe that's the benefit. Personally, that wouldn't be the benefit for me, because I can come together with people without having alcohol. But there you go. Let me know what you think. The number is 087-188-0008. After the break, by the way, I'm going to be asking, is there anything wrong with your boyfriend proposing to you over the Christmas dinner, where there's all the relations there and everything else? Because this girl has found out that her boyfriend is going to propose to her. She's not too happy about it at all. She said even the cliche of the Eiffel Tower would have done, but not at the table in front of everybody. I wanted a personal moment.
Now, real people, real opinions. Nighttime Talk with Niall Boylan.
Ireland's classic hits radio.